by a bunch of childless cat ladies.
I can imagine what can be and be unburdened by what has been, you know?
Well, the internet is forever. Nowadays, it can make or break a candidate. From receiving backlash from those embracing the title childless cat ladies to buying support from an entire generation, part of this election cycle is definitely playing out online. But who will come out on top dog, our cat, when it comes to two very important demographics? Either way, the U.S. presidential election is in for a wild ride. I'm Skynell Hughes, and this is Perspective. J.D. Vance, the recent addition to the Donald J. Trump ticket, has been called a mini version of Trump because of his beliefs, values, and even choice of words. However, the backgrounds of the two could not be any further alike, as Trump grew up in a very affluent family at the country club, while J.D. was raised by his grandmother, as his mother fought her drug addiction in the Ohio Valley and the hills of Kentucky. Well, I'm sure J.D. Vance's upbringing in blue-collar America, as well as military service background, were a factor in his choosing. One of the greatest benefits J.D. Vance was supposed to bring to the Republican ticket was his age. On the verge of turning 40, J.D. Vance is one of the youngest candidates for vice president. And in a race that used to be dominated by two old men, Vance was hoping to being half their age would appeal and engage the younger generation. Now, by younger, I mean below the age of 55. But as with all campaign election cycles, things change. And Democrats, sensing the advantage J.D. Vance would bring with younger voters, have chosen another candidate to counter. A candidate who not only represents one, but two sought-after demographics. In 2020, President Joe Biden's winning edge was provided by the Black and Hispanic women voters, as 90 and 69% of those blocks voted for him respectively. However, while women comprise the largest group of registered voters and tend to turn out to vote in large numbers, is it now fair to assume the majority of those women will show their support to Kamala Harris just in the name of solidarity? Well, let us discuss with our panel. Stevie Giorno, who is the chair of the Young Republicans of Tennessee and was the youngest delegate at the RNC. Gabrielle Lanes, who is the president of Vivicta Strategies and the chair of the Florida First PAC. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us today. You know, before we get to the specific comments that were made by the candidates, I want to talk about how Kamala Harris is currently doing a roundup of campaign Zoom calls, separating each out by white men, white women, black women. Stevie, I want to ask you, do you feel like it's good to segregate out the different demographics and promote the candidate specifically to that group? I thought we were supposed to be talking about unity in the USA.
Well, you're absolutely right. I think it's wrong. I think at the end of the day, we're all Americans and the issues affect all of us equally. And I think that it just shows what the Democrat Party is all about. It's about segregating people and dividing people based on skin color or how much money you have or what religion you are, instead of what our founding fathers and what the Republican Party stands for, which is everyone should be treated equally. We're all equal before the law and we should all have the same opportunities.
That's interesting, Gabrielle, because, you know, Stevie brought up it's the Republican Party. But in the past, the Republicans have done a pretty good job of isolating different groups out. You know, isn't that been the goal of the Democrats has actually been unity to kind of get everyone together on the same page? They've been able to do it. Does it help when you start segmenting out from a Democrat perspective?
I don't think so. Ultimately, all these issues that we're seeing that's at the table at the moment are going to affect every American the same way. You see the Hispanic Americans, Democrats have been making a play here for the last 20 years for the Hispanic Americans. And it, while it had been working for some time, the average cost of housing, the inflation, the price of goods have gone up and skyrocketed, the open border, law and order, and people in every demographic and every group are just not having it. Because ultimately, Scotty, when they sit down for dinner, they're seeing that the prices of goods are going up and they're worried about how they're going to feed their children.
You know, Gabrielle, you bring up a really good point about what actually is supposed to unite all of us, the same issues that affect all of us. And yet you usually only hear Republicans talking about those comments. You actually talk about it's always funny when, and especially in this election cycle, it's the Republicans that are constantly saying, no, it's education, it's border security. That's affecting all the demographics. Do Republicans feel like that is a message of unity that they're pushing? Is that the message that they need to be focused on? Or maybe should they try going after these specific demographics like the Democrats have done?
Well, we're seeing them do it too, right? There's a large concerted effort to go in after the Hispanic vote at the moment. President Trump in the past has made a play for the African-American vote as well. And the women vote, I mean, the play is quite simple, law and order. We know that that's what the number one issue among women at the moment, suburban women who are worried about their kids being out in the streets with fentanyl, with the illegal immigration, with the rise in crime around our cities, both suburban and urban. And so you could try to segregate and move these people into little blocks, but ultimately, it won't work. The Democrats have tried to. I will suspect that they're going to probably after the Labor Day, try to change tactics on how they're doing this. Because ultimately, if the Republicans just talk about issues and stay away from the culture stuff and the segregation stuff and putting people into little boxes, it's their race to lose.
Well, and that's the thing, because when you look at it right now, and I want to go to you on this one, Steve, because J.D. Vance has been in the news for all the wrong reasons this week, at least in the mainstream media's perspective. And they pulled a quote that was from back when he was on Tucker Carlson's show on Fox News. I'm sure you've heard it. It's making the rounds. Take a listen.
We're effectively run in this country via the Democrats, via our corporate oligarchs, by a bunch of childless cat ladies who are miserable at their own lives and the choices that they've made. And so they want to make the rest of the country miserable, too. And it's just a basic fact. You look at Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, AOC, the entire future of the Democrats is controlled by people without children. And how does it make any sense that we've turned our country over to people who don't really have a direct stake in it?
Okay, there are major parts of that soundbite right there that's been dissected over and over. I want to take one part with you first on this, Stevie. Do you think candidates should be held accountable for past comments? Or should there be almost a statute of limitations, depending on how enraging the comment can be, now that we do have social media and the internet that can document every minute of present-day politicians, where in the past, they didn't really get to say, that was not necessarily on the record as much as we can recall it today?
Well, I think it depends on the context of what they're saying and, you know, how bad of something, you know, how bad it is. I don't think, you know, we're all human. We all make mistakes. We all say things we shouldn't say. But I think the American people really, you know, the news can say it as much as they want, but the American people care about lowering gas prices. They want to be safe in their communities. And, you know, if someone says something they may disagree with, like JD said, you know, a lot of people may say they'd prefer that he didn't say that, but it is what it is. You know, I think most people care about, you know, having a well-paid job, having their kids taken care of. But I certainly think that you can't hold people accountable for what they're saying forever, especially if it's something where, you know, it's not too big of a deal. You know, people may disagree with it, but at the end of the day, we've got to get our country back on the tracks, because what's going on is ridiculous. You know, we have a president who's such a nice guy who's doing an awful job. And that is such a great reason of why we may need some people who are not very nice who would do a really good job.
Okay, so but then on that comment, Gabrielle, you've got J.D. Vance heading out to Arizona. In preface to this, the Democrats are running a wide variety of ads they are talking about, which has a huge Hispanic voter base, talking about abortion, talking about the right to birth control and how they believe J.D. Vance wants to get rid of that right for women. How does that messaging sound within the Hispanic community, a largely Catholic community? Do they embrace this pro-abortion talk that seems to be pushed by the Democrat Party right now, especially in the Hispanic communities?
Absolutely not. You make a great point in the Catholic community, which of the Hispanic community is predominantly Catholic, but among many other Americans as well. We know that these ad hominem attacks are not going to be good for either side. They should stick to the policies. And when you talk about things like you just mentioned, the Catholic vote, well, the Republicans and the Trump campaign needs to go out and do a better job of explaining to folks on the issues. I mean, it was the Biden-Harris administration that went after the Catholics and had their administration put people in Catholic pews because they deemed them possible domestic terrorists. These are the type of issues that they need to be focusing on. By the way, the Hispanic population does not like abortion. They don't like the trans agenda. They're very careful. They're very careful, and they care about what's being taught in the schools. They came to this country. Most of them came to this country to give a better life to their children. They're seeing their children being taught all kinds of woke nonsense in school, and not the things that are going to prepare them for the future, which is AI, data analytics, computer science. And rather, they're coming out of high school, have very little preparation for the real world, and then going into college and getting indoctrinated more. That's exactly what the Hispanic population cares about. It's what the overall American population are currently seeing, unfortunately.
Well, and that's a very interesting part of it, because you bring out the demographics on both sides of that, except it seems like one is trying to attract based on positive reasons. The other side might actually try to push away because of what they're saying the other side's trying to do to them. You know, but I want to go back to these Zoom calls that have set up, because I'm really fascinated, because we've had Kamala Harris is forming Cat and Dog Ladies Unite for Kamala Harris for President, Childless Cat Ladies for Kamala's on Twitter. Women posting pictures with their cats, and just of Taylor Swift's Time magazine cover of her and her cat. You also have white men for Kamala Harris. You have black men for Kamala Harris. Everybody's breaking on that demographic. Now, could you imagine that same thing happening, Stevie, and them organizing those type of different demographics, black women for Donald Trump? Could you ever see that happening? And what do you think the backlash could be? And is it hypocritical that one can do it and the other cannot?
Oh, absolutely. But we've seen for years how the Democrat Party is the party of hypocrisy. You know, they've been able to get away with so many things to where if you or I did it, we'd be put in jail. You know, if you look at Hunter Biden, if we, you know, threw a pistol in a garbage can and left it there, we'd be in jail right now. And so when you just look at everything that's gone on, the Democrat Party is controlled by, like you said, the oligarchs, and the media protects them. And so the media is going to continue doing whatever it takes to make sure that Kamala Harris can do no wrong. But I think the American people are going to see through it, because you can't hide the gas prices. You can't hide the grocery bills. You cannot hide millions of illegal immigrants coming into our country. You know, and I think the results of that will be seen in November. There's just no way that they can continue avoiding it. You know, even some of the media has turned on Joe Biden even before he said he wasn't going to run. And we remember in 2020 when Kamala Harris was doing so well when she announced she was running for president. Well, about 3 or 4 months later, she wasn't running for president anymore when the media turned on her. So I guess we'll have to see if the momentum for her campaign is going to die out, or if she'll be able to get through to November.
But it's interesting, Stevie, because you mentioned time, and you're right. Time is so important right now, but we don't have 3 or 4 months until our election. In fact, it's within 2 months that we start early voting here in the United States for the presidential campaign. Gabrielle, on that comment, when you look at what's going on, you're looking at the backlash. It's only been 2 weeks since J.D. Vance. Do you think that Donald Trump is having any buyer's remorse for having J.D. Vance, or do you think the campaign knew these comments were going to come back up and have handled them correctly, or could have handled them better?
We all know that these campaigns do great Oppo research, and these things are all online. This is Tucker Carlson, for God's sake. So I'm sure the Trump campaign has already looked at this before. You know, the play with J.D. Vance is that he's going to bring in the working class vote. He's going to bring in the Great Lakes states that are going to be so crucial for this election, whether it's Pennsylvania, Ohio, of course, Wisconsin, or Michigan. President Trump only needs two of those. Scotty, you know, the interesting thing to note here is that the average American is in a record amount of credit card debt. And this has happened all under by the Biden-Harris watch, including that the average American family is spending $2,000 more a year than they make in income. I don't see how you could talk about anything else but the issues. We look at polling. You're right. There's not a lot of time left from here to November, but it can be an eternity when it comes to politics. And what are the polls showing us? Even after the honeymoon phase with Kamala Harris, President Trump is still up 2 points in the RCP average. She'll probably get another bump after the convention. We're probably going to see that here in the next couple of weeks. And then things are going to settle out. And if President Trump just focuses on the issues, the polls that are a trend line show us that President Trump's approval rating of his presidency among average voters is 51%. For Kamala Harris and the way she's governed, it's less than 41%. That tells you all you need to hear.
Well, what I do need to hear is more policy, and that's why I would like to ask you, Gabrielle and Stevie, to stay with me, because we're talking about something that a lot of people on the campaign trail are not. So stay with me, because after the break, we will examine the youth vote and if J.D. Vance's age and Kamala Harris's meme ability will help either one of them. Welcome back to Perspective. I'm your host, Scotty Nell Hughes. There are many reasons Democrats have given for pulling President Joe Biden from the top of the ticket. But it is pretty obvious that certain key groups known for their loyalty to the Democrats were just not excited or motivated in their support. Now his replacement, Kamala Harris, is known for her word salads. Most recently, her campaign has tried to embrace it as Gen Z is tracking her voice to a popular artist's song of the summer.
You think you just fell out of a coconut tree? You exist in the context of all in which you live and what came before you. You think you just fell out of a coconut tree? You exist in the context of all in which you live and what came before you.
This has actually turned into a whole movement. And it all started when Charlie tweeted out, Kamala is a brat. That's Charlie XCX, by the way. The singer herself describes the term brat as, quote, that girl who is a little messy and likes to party and maybe sometimes says dumb things. Sometimes. Well, that's Charlie XCX's Brat album. Became a major hit this summer. Shirts supporting Harris based off the album art have gone viral on TikTok. Young people seem to be unburdened by Harris's trademark vague phrases. Harris's team has actually adopted this brat title by changing her Headquarters X page to the neon green banner and using a similar black front to replicate the brat album. Let's bring it back in our panel to discuss. Stevie Giorna, chair of the Young Republicans of Tennessee. Gabrielle Lanes, president of Vavictus Strategies and chair of Florida First PAC. Thank you so much for joining me. You know what I think is interesting is these controversial moments. Steve, I get your comment that we talk about the brat comment. You got Charlie's come in here, made it to be viral, which is actually kind of genius from a marketing perspective. She was addressing, actually, I want to go to you on this, Gabrielle. She was addressing a room of Hispanics when she said that. When she said, did you think you just fell off a coconut tree? Why are Hispanics not getting upset about that comment from her, like we've heard cat ladies getting upset about J.D. Vance's?
Well, first and foremost, she has the media on her side, and we saw how quickly they all coalesced around her as soon as Biden dropped out and she became the presumptive nominee. But Hispanics are not really paying attention to this stuff at the moment. I don't think the average Hispanic was coming home from work at 7 p.m. and maybe working two jobs, struggling to put food on their table, is looking through TikTok and seeing all the latest videos of Kamala Harris or seeing the realities of life. Most people don't pay attention, including Hispanics, to the presidential election until after Labor Day. That's what we're seeing right now. Most people aren't paying attention. And by the way, if this is the strategy that the Harris campaign is going to take, great. I think Republicans should welcome it, because when she gets into the policy side of things, she's going to lose, as we've already discussed here. And ultimately, this is going to be a pocketbook election, mark my words, and a law and order election. She was the border czar. She did absolutely nothing for inflation. And we're going to see a whole lot more of it between here and November. And ultimately, Hispanics, Black Americans, Asian Pacific Americans, and all Americans for that matter, are ultimately going to look at, where was I better off? They're in the Biden-Harris administration or under the Trump administration? So they could keep their memes and their funny videos going. Great. I welcome it. It's a complete distraction, and it looks out of touch.
Well, it's interesting, because one of the things I do think that makes Trump so popular is that he has been able to identify, I mean, the brand Trump and that logo MAGA has become such a viral hit himself, though, with amongst the younger demographics of buying the hats, the flags, everything else, that they have all the paraphernalia that goes with it. It's interesting. This is the first time I've seen Democrats be able to match that in any form. Still not to the level, though, that I think Trump's been able to do it. Stevie, but I think a lot of people don't understand that Kamala Harris is being accused of buying her viral sensationalism with the youth. And a lot of that money that she raised right after her announcement, well, she's using it in paid post marketing. $150 for a post encouraging followers to vote for Kamala. So do you think that her honeymoon phase is authentic and polling popularity uptick with youth is really happening?
Well, I think when you look at President Trump, he doesn't have to pay people asking them to vote for him. They just do it because they think he's right. You know, to your point of why people resonate so much with the Make America Great Again movement is because it's self-explanatory. You know, if you tried explaining to friends of mine, what does a brat mean? I think most of them are going to look and be like, we think this is kind of foolish. We don't understand what this has to do with anything. You know, she may get a lot of votes just because you're having, you know, Taylor Swift out there and Charlie. You know, I think it'll be similar to 2008 when you had Jay-Z and Oprah come out and support President Obama. But I think today there are going to be more people that go against that message because they don't want to get drafted. Young people do not want to get drafted to go fight in Ukraine. And we've seen the past few years in Afghanistan and Ukraine and Taiwan that this administration cannot be trusted with our future. So why would we give the lady who's the second most responsible for our current predicaments more power? But I think that she's going to have a bump for sure for now. But once the excitement runs out and people remember that, like Tulsi Gabbard said in the debate, that she went after people wrongfully who were innocent and withheld evidence and went after minority communities, people are going to remember why they didn't want to vote for her in 2020. And that's the reason she got 1% in the primary. And this time she had 0% in the primary, but is still the nominee.
Okay, so it's interesting you bring that up, Steve, because Gabrielle, you hear that she's going viral on, with all of these little brat comments and with all the celebrities in the United States. But how is that going? She's taking drag queens to the White House. She's filming TikTok dances, not really well administered, in my personal opinion. But how do you think that's actually feeling? How is that going to be applied to her international foreign policy, where people say she's very weak? Is that going to, people going to go, maybe you need to put a little bit more strength in your policy numbers than necessarily your pop and lock on TikTok? I mean, can people take her international policy seriously?
Yeah, there you go. Talk about the issues. We all remember when she went over to Europe and became a laughing stock all around the world leaders when they didn't even understand what she was saying. And some of them were actively giggling while she was speaking. And so those are the things that Trump needs to highlight. Sure, go ahead and do your memes. Go ahead and do your dance videos and TikToks. Ultimately, the average American doesn't care. The average American is struggling. The average American sees what's going on overseas where everything seems to be on fire. The border is wide open. The price of housing is in the 400,000s where it was in the 200,000s with Trump and president. Inflation is killing us at the grocery store. I don't know what Kamala Harris's team is trying to do, get out of this. The youth vote, they are trending up among the youth vote. It's a fact. I can't deny that. But it doesn't say anything about getting people out to the polls. Ultimately, this is going to be about who comes out and vote. If you tell me who's going to come out and vote, I'll tell you who's going to win. And at the moment, it's trending for President Trump.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because, Stevie, I have to ask you this one, because if tradition holds that most demographics, minority females and youth, vote Democrat, on that comment, do you think that Kamala Harris, if she was not a female, if she was not African-American, do you think right now that she'd be the nominee at the top of the ticket for the Democratic Party?
No, I don't. She got destroyed in 2020, but I think that Joe Biden had to pick someone like her. And as a result of what you had mentioned, that's why people forgot that when she was a prosecutor, she put people in jail for having small amounts of marijuana. I think she is going to do a terrible job if she's elected. We've seen what she's done as vice president, and I can't tell you a single thing she's done right. I don't know a single thing. You know, there may be, you know, I disagree with almost everything Democrats do, but sometimes you can find common ground with them. And I can't find anything that Kamala Harris has done right or hasn't embarrassed us on in policy or in foreign relations or anything. And it's very worrisome that all these young people are supporting her, even though she would make their lives infinitely harder for them to have a family, to buy a house, to get a well-paying job. But just because it's a socially acceptable movement to support the Democrat, they're going to do it.
Stevie, you're acting like a brat. Just kidding. I had to say it. I was trying to figure out a way to use the word in there. I want to thank you, Stevie Giardo, Gabrielle Lanes, definitely not brats, and always welcome on the show.
Thank you.
You know, the real controversy surrounding J.D. Vance's comments, however, is actually more about how he said it. This does not mean that he disrespects strong, independent women or young voters. Look at his own personal choices and his wife, Usha, who is not only a Yale law degree, but also a master's from Cambridge, and is a litigator for a prestigious law firm in San Francisco. But just like Joe Biden regrets, I'm sure, using the N-word in the Senate, and Kamala should regret the unending word salads that she has tossed, I think I agree. We need to move on to substance, like actions taken by those politicians, which should speak louder for their character and beliefs than their words, which can be flubbed, twisted, and taken out of context by their opponents. But hey, that's just my perspective. I'm Scottie Nell Hughes. Thanks for watching.